All right, so the P's of praise. I'm going to talk to you guys, tell you a quick story here. I'm married, my wife, Brianna, and we have two kids, Kenna and Siler. When we had our first kid, things were pretty easy, right? You have one kid, you can do whatever you want with them, pretty much. You have two kids, it starts getting more difficult. You have more than that, I don't know what to tell you because I don't, and I don't know how y'all do it. So anyway, Kenna is a lot like I am. She gets in trouble sometimes for being mouthy, and y'all are like, oh, you're going to get in trouble too. She was in here first service. We talked about it. It's all good. But she gets in trouble for being mouthy sometimes, and my wife or I will have to call her down and kind of talk to her about her attitude. And my son, he's really good at this kind of brown nosing stuff. So in that moment, when Kenna's in trouble, Siler will always walk up to Brianna, climb up in her lap, and he'll sit there and he'll look at her all sweet with this little sheepish grin on his face, and he'll be like, I love you, Mama. And it's like he's getting all the brownie points right then. But he knows that that situation's kind of tense, right? And subconsciously, he wants to kind of change that environment. So he begins to praise Brianna and tell her that he loves her and she's pretty. And, I mean, sometimes he lays it on thick. Like, he'll just go on with it, right? He knows what's up. He's going to be a good husband one day. But what he does is he begins to try to change that countenance and begins to try to change that atmosphere. And so many times in our life, that's what praise does, but we miss that. So today, I want to work through those things with you. We're going to talk about the P's of praise. And the first one I want to talk about is praise pushes off heaviness. Praise pushes off heaviness. So turn with me in your Bibles to Isaiah chapter 61, verse 3. I said this in the first service. All of these, I'm going to say, are my favorite scripture today. They are. They're just in different parts. So Isaiah chapter 61, verse 3, we're going to read this together. It says, to appoint unto them that mourn in Zion, to give them beauty for ashes, the oil of joy for mourning, the garment of praise for the spirit of heaviness, that they might be called trees of righteousness, the planting of the Lord, that he might be glorified. There's a word in there that we're talking about today, right? Praise. Garment of praise for the spirit of heaviness. How many of y'all ever felt heavy in your life? Like life just feels heavy, right? Like it just, everything you do is just tough, right? It's hard to get out of bed. It's hard to open your eyes in the mornings. It's hard to just to go about your life. Every time you pick up your foot, it feels like it weighs 1,000 pounds. It's just heavy. This week, I was thinking about this and kind of throwing these thoughts around in my head and trying to let the Holy Spirit speak to me. And I began to think about how terrible it would be to walk around in some Carhartt overalls or coveralls, right? I'm not talking about like bibs. I'm talking about the ones with sleeves, like the whole get up, right? And if somebody pushed you into a pool, how heavy those Carhartt coveralls would be. It'd be like 1,000 pounds. Maybe not so much, but it'd be really heavy, right? And it'd be miserable to wear those things around. There are times in our life where we just get heavy. The things of this world weigh us down. Sometimes we begin to shoulder the burdens of those around us. We begin to shoulder the burdens of things that have come against us, and we don't get rid of them. And what does that do? I begin to think about what would happen to me physically if I carried weight like that all the time. I would begin to bow over like this, right? I wouldn't be able to stand up straight because I would get tired of carrying that weight. And that's what happens to us spiritually when we carry that weight. We bow over. Well, what does that do? It takes our focus off of what's in front of us and begins to only focus on what's right here. See, when I'm stuck like this, I can't see out in front of me. I'm sorry if I'm blinding you with my bald head and these big fancy lights, but I can't see what's in front of me, right? I'm stuck right there. So you're like, well, Logan, how does praise fix that? Well, praise begins to fix it because it helps us to look up. You see, when we start to praise God, we begin to lift our head. It says to lift our eyes to the hills from whence cometh our help, to pull our eyes up to see where God is. Why look up? Because it changes our focus. It changes our focus. If I'm stuck here, but I'm really trying to look up, and I begin to say, oh, that's my God. That's the one that created absolutely everything from absolutely nothing. But yet he wants to be with me. That's my God. The King of Kings, the Lord of Lords. He's a Prince of Peace. He's a wonderful counselor. All of those things, we could name names forever. And as we begin to do that, it begins to pull our head up. And as we do that, we can kind of shrug off that heaviness, right? And we put on a garment of praise because that garment of praise is lighter. The attitude in here was light while we were walking around praising each other, wasn't it? It was fun. It was joyous. See, that's what praise does. It pushes off heaviness. It doesn't let it sit there. It doesn't let it hang out. So number one thing that praise does is it pushes off heaviness, but it takes some effort to do that. It takes to be able to lift our head and to remind ourselves of who God is. See, we lift our eyes up to see how big God is, and it reminds us of how small in reality those things we deal with are. They're huge for us. You know, anxiety feels like Goliath when it's yours. Worry feels like an enormous monster when it's yours. But you see, God's bigger than that. God's bigger than that. It says he gives us beauty for ashes, the oil of joy for mourning, and the garment of praise for the spirit of heaviness. It begins to transform those feelings into something that's good. And that's what happens when we begin to praise God. We lift our head to focus on him. And as we focus on him, things become lighter. It just becomes lighter when we're focused on him. So the number one P is praise pushes off heaviness. Praise pushes off heaviness, okay? We're going to move on to number two. Praise also picks the locks of prison shackles. I told you, P's for days. P's for days. We're not even halfway done yet. Praise picks the locks on prison shackles. So I want you guys to turn with me to Acts chapter 16, verses 25 and 26. I'm going to give you a little context while you're on your way there. This is a story about Paul and Silas, and Paul and Silas are preaching in an area, and they come in contact with a lady who's doing these weird things through like a demonic spirit. She's giving fortunes and divination and weird kind of stuff, and there's some guys that are using her to make money. So Paul and Silas come in contact with her, and they cast that demon out, and it makes those guys mad. So they say, hey, these guys are disrupting the peace. This Paul and Silas, they got to quit, blah, blah, blah. Fix it. So the people in charge take them, they beat them, and they throw them into the inner prison. They throw them into the inner prison. They're beaten, they're bound, they're shackled up, and they're in a prison cell. That's where we pick up here. I love the way this starts. It says, in at midnight. We said this in the first service. How many of y'all know what midnight feels like? It's tough, isn't it? It's like the farthest from sunset and the farthest from sunrise, too. You can't go back to when the sun set, but you feel like you can't move forward to when the sun rises too. It's a tough spot to be in. I've been there. I know what midnight feels like. It's scary. It's tough. It feels like you're stuck. You're never going to move forward or backward or anything. You're just stuck right there. What did Paul and Silas do? Let's read about it. It says, and at midnight, Paul and Silas prayed, and they sang praises unto God, and the prisoners heard them. And suddenly there was a great earthquake so that the foundations of the prison were shaken. And immediately all the doors were opened and everyone's bands were loosed. That's pretty cool, right? What'd they do? They didn't sit there and sulk about it, did they? They didn't sit there and talk about, man, it's really bad we're in here. We got beat. We're hopeless. We're going to die in here. We're inside the middle of this prison. There ain't no hope getting out. We can't make it. It could have been very easily downcast in that and stayed in that mindset, but they didn't. They prayed and they sang praises to God. And as I begin to think about that, like what kind of songs did they sing? I mean, I don't know. I don't know what they would sing, but I know what I would sing. And I thought about it this week, and I thought about Paul started singing like, how great is our God? You know, Chris Tomlin sings it right in that chorus. It talks about how great is our God. How great is our God? And he begins to say it and begins to say it, and he elbows Silas and he's like, hey, sing with me. Sing with me. How great is our God? And then he keeps doing it. And then he's like, hey, all these people are going to see how great is our God. And they keep doing it. And they keep doing it. And they keep doing it. And what happens? The chains fall off and the doors are open. You see, we're going to work sequentially here. Praise pushes off heaviness, but praise also picks the locks on prison shackles. How does it do that, Logan? What's that mean? Quit with the metaphors. What it means is that as we begin to focus on God and we begin to lift our eyes to him, it allows us to feel the freedom of not being burdened, but sometimes we still feel trapped. See, Paul and Silas were trying to do the right thing, but they found themselves in a prison cell. Maybe you've lived your life trying to do the right things, but something someone did to you hurt you really bad. Maybe something someone did to you destroyed how you feel about life, and you feel chained and captured by that and stuck in a prison cell. You can see through the windows maybe of people outside doing everything and Christians free and Christians knowing the freedom of Christ, but you're stuck. What do you do? And you still keep praising him. You still keep praising him. Because sometimes those moments are very critical, not just in our own lives, but in the lives of those around us as well. I use Miss Shirley as an example in the first service because she's somebody who I feel like might be in something like a midnight right now. Her husband's terminally ill with cancer. But yet every time I speak to that lady, she pours into me. Every single time. She gives me something I can walk away with. When we praise God in prison cells and we praise God in the midnights of our life, it doesn't just affect us. It begins to change those around us as well. You see, I can come in contact with Miss Shirley in that, and I walk away feeling good, and I'm like, how did she do that? That's what happens. It changes those people around us too, right? So if we're in connection with people who are praising God and we're talking to people who are praising God, it not only pushes off the heaviness, we feel lighter, but it begins to free us from what's held us back in our past. God becomes more, it's not that he becomes more powerful, it's like he is able to exert the force that requires to open those prison shackles in that moment. When we praise him, it picks the locks on prison shackles. It begins to change around us. And you can read on later in that chapter, the guard that was with him, and right after that happened, he comes before him and he's like, whoa, how can I be saved? And Paul and Silas are like, believe on me, you and your household. And shortly after that, that dude and his whole house were converted. When we can praise God in our midnights, it doesn't just change our lives, it helps to minister to those around us as well and becomes a way that we can serve others. So we push off our heaviness with praise, but we also see that we can be released from prison with that praise too. Don't be held back by something someone's done to you. Don't be held back by the things that chain you down because God is big enough to break those chains. If I could sing well enough, I would sing right now, but I'm not going to spare y'all. He can break chains. I've seen it. I've felt it, and I know it. Praise pushes off heaviness. Praise picks the locks of prison doors. Praise also, this one's a tough one, it puts us in our place. Praise puts us in our place, right? Turn with me to Isaiah chapter 6, verses 1 through 7. Another one of my favorite scriptures. I love this. I love this. Read with me as we go. In the year that King Uzziah died, I saw the Lord seated on a high and lofty throne, and his robe filled the temple. Seraphim were standing above him. Each one had six wings. With two he covered his face, with two he covered his feet, and with two he flew. And one called to another, "Holy, holy, holy is the Lord of hosts. His glory fills the whole earth." The foundations of the doorway shook at the sound of their voices, and the temple was filled with smoke. It said, then I said, woe is me, I am ruined, because I'm a man of unclean lips, and I live among a people of unclean lips, and because my eyes have seen the King, the Lord of hosts. Then one of the seraphim flew to me, and in his hand was a glowing coal that he had taken from the altar with tongs. He touched my mouth with it and said, now that this has touched your lips, your wickedness is removed and your sin is atoned for. Praise puts us in our place. You see, we live in a society that wants to tell you that you can help yourself. You can fix yourself. There's a whole section in Barnes & Noble now called self-help, and it's filled with books about how to help yourself. But when we praise God, and we begin to see him for who he is, it puts us in our place. We put him in his place, it puts us in ours. To understand that we need him. Like, to even have a heartbeat, we need him. There's an old song that said, I can't even walk without you holding my hand. I went further than that. I can't even breathe without you being in me. And without, I just see him up there. Some days he's just like conducting the rhythm of my breath with his hands. He's just like, but we can't even do that without him. But you see, what Isaiah saw here was an incredible thing. He saw the Lord high and lifted up, right? And his robe filled the temple. He saw the angels around him singing, holy, holy, holy is the Lord of hosts. The whole earth is full of your glory. He didn't just jump in that moment and start singing with them, did he? He didn't be like Pastor Seth with that awesome bass solo there for a minute. He didn't just like, come on, hit that bass one time. Give me that electric guitar. Let's go. Let's worship. Let's get this. No, he didn't. He saw in himself what was wrong with him. You see, sometimes we're bowed over by things that are heavy in our life, and praise pushes off heaviness. Sometimes praise picks the locks of prison doors, and it helps us to see who God is. But then when we see who God is, it reminds us who we are and who we should be, and it puts us in our place. It reminds us that we need him tremendously. We can't do anything without him. Friend, you can't help yourself enough. You can't make it on your own. The righteousness is like filthy rags to him. It doesn't matter how many things you stack on top of each other to do well and climb a ladder of success, you'll never make it to heaven. It doesn't matter. You can't get there. It's only through who he is and who he made the way for us to get to him through his son Jesus. That's the only way we can. So praise puts us in our place. As we lift his name, it reminds us how minuscule we are. John said, he must increase and I must decrease, right? He saw it. He saw it. So today, praise pushes off heaviness. Praise picks the locks of prison doors. Praise puts us in our place. And here's the last one. Lots of P's in this one. Get ready. Praise puts us in position for possession. It puts us in position for possession. So like I said, we're going to try to work sequentially here. Sometimes we're too heavy to be able to even lift our eyes to see who God is. Sometimes we're still trapped in that prison of what we've felt as our life has been so far. Even when we're freed from that, God puts us in our place. But sometimes we feel like there's a promise, but we can't get to it. This scripture in Joshua chapter 6, I'll give you some context. Joshua chapter 6, verses 15 through 17, and then we'll move on. Joshua is the successor to Moses. Moses led the people out of Egypt, God's people, to the promised land, right? He was supposed to. But they missed it. They wandered around in the desert, in the wilderness forever. 40 years, they missed it. Joshua's raised up here to take them into the promised land. They get ready to go, and Jericho is the first place they come to. Jericho is a fortified city. It's a city that's surrounded by walls, and these walls seem impenetrable. And they're getting ready to fight, and what do? They come before Joshua, and Joshua's like, all right, we're going to go, and we're going to hit those walls with everything we got, and they're going to fall down, right? No, that's not what he said. I'm not much of a military strategist, but if somebody came before me and said, hey, I think it's a good idea. We've got this hostile area here that we feel like we need to take control of. We're going to go walk around it. And we're going to have these people go before us, and they're going to pray in things, and then they're going to have some trumpets, and then we're going to walk around it for 6 days straight. On the seventh day, we're going to walk around it seven times, and on the seventh time, these dudes are going to play their trumpets, and we're going to shout real loud, and then everything's going to be ready for us to take it over. Y'all ready? How many of y'all going to jump on that bus? I'm probably not, right? But that's what God said to do here. Let's read it together. Early on the seventh day, they started at dawn and marched around the city seven times in the same way. That was the only day they marched around the city seven times. And after the seventh time, the priests blew their trumpets. And Joshua said to the people, shout, for the Lord has given you the city. But the city and everything in it are set apart to the Lord for destruction. Only Rahab the prostitute and everyone with her in the house will live, because she hid the men we sent. So the people shouted and the trumpets sounded. And when they heard the blast of the trumpet, the people gave a great shout. And the wall, say it with me, collapsed. Ha! The people advanced into the city, and each man straight ahead, and they captured the city. Now, I don't know what they said whenever they shouted, like when Joshua was like, all right, shout. But I bet it wasn't something like, okay, God, I bet you can do it. You might be able to make the walls fall. And they weren't like that, right? Because I don't think that that's how it was. I think that they got ready for it. Because they were supposed to be quiet while they were walking around it, right? And if you make me be quiet for that long and I'm expecting a miracle from God, when you tell me to shout, I'm going to let something loose. And at that moment, they remembered who God was. You see, they were kind of removed from the power of God. This generation may not have seen him like the ones before him had. And so they were reminded of it. And I can imagine them talking about it. You remember when God parted the Red Sea? You remember when God made water come out of the rock? And they begin to talk about those miracles. And they're reminded of who God is, just like you can be when we praise God. You see, sometimes we have to be reminded about how big God is. When I think about him, I'll get messed up. I think about how he saved me. I think about how he's healed my body. He's healed my mind. He's delivered me. He's changed the path in my life to one of positivity and one that I move forward and impact the lives of those around me because of what he's done in my life. You're too late to tell me he's not alive and he's not real because I know it. There's an empty tomb that says so. You're too late to remind me and to try to convince me that he's not alive. And you see what happens when we put him in his place, we're put in ours, but it also reminds us of the power that he has for us. So many times we walk around our promise, we see that there's promises in the word of God, and God says we can have peace that surpasses all understanding, but we live our lives in turmoil. We can have hope, but we live our lives defeated. We can have victory because of the victory that he has. He says the battle is the Lord's and he doesn't lose, but yet we live defeated every single day of our life. Why? We're walking around our promise, but we never get to that last part. We can see it. You've been saved for 100 years. You've seen things happen around you, but you've never felt it yourself. Why? You're walking around it. God's calling us to shout to those things today with a voice of triumph and a voice of praise. I'm going to get down. Watch me. But listen. Listen. In that moment when they walked around there, they took the presence of God before them. The priest took the Ark of the Covenant as they walked around it, and it went before them. The Spirit of God has prepared a way for you today because you may not know it, but a couple nights ago, this place was bathed in prayer because you were going to be here today. This place was bathed in prayer because we knew God wanted to do some things in here today. Some people prayed through the day on Friday and through the night all night long on behalf of you because you were going to be here. Today, God wants you to find the lightness in him. He said, come to me, all you who are weary and heavy laden, and I'll give you rest. He said, my burden is easy and my yoke is light. The opposite of heavy, light. There's still a yoke. There's still work to be done, but it's a light yoke. It's one that he's a good master to us. There's still work to be done. I want you to know that freedom and that lightness in him today like I do. Praise pushes off heaviness. Praise picks the locks on prison doors. I want you to be free today. I want you to be free like I know freedom. Because where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is liberty. And if the Son shall set us free, we'll be free indeed. And he's done it. The last enemy to be defeated was death, and he did that through his resurrection. There is absolutely nothing in your life that he cannot defeat today. Nothing. Doesn't matter where you were last night. It doesn't matter what your plans are today. There is absolutely nothing that is not subject to the God that I know. He picks the locks on prison doors. He puts us in our place. My dad... My dad's a big dude. Some of y'all know my dad. Some of y'all don't. He's about 6'2", 300 pounds. And a couple years ago, I thought I was stronger than him. And he got that old man strength. You know what I'm talking about? Like he can put a bolt in something with his hand and I got to get a wrench to undo it. Like he's got that kind of strength. And I came up to him one day and I'm like, all right, let's go. We're going to throw down, Pops. He took one hand and just pushed me and I was against the wall. He put me in my place. Sometimes that's painful, right? To be put in our place. It messed with my pride a little bit. I'm like, dang, man, I'm 30 years old. Now I can bench over 300 pounds, and my dad just threw me on a wall. It put me in my place, but it messed with my pride. You see, that's what it does sometimes. We have to get enough of ourselves out of the way that we can even see God. It puts us in our place. And then, it puts us in position for possession. You see, when they walked around the city, they were following what God told Joshua to do. It was a weird way to do it, right? It was a weird way. You're like, you're going to conquer the city. You're going to walk around it. You're going to blow the trumpets. You're going to shout and the walls are going to fall. What? God does stuff that doesn't make sense just to prove that it was him that did it. If we can make sense of it all the time, it means that we haven't seen enough of him, because his thoughts are higher than ours and his ways are higher than ours. We can't comprehend the vastness of who he is in our heads. Sometimes it just doesn't make sense. But it happened. And you see that I said that it put them in position for possession. God didn't just give them the city in that moment. They still had to work for it. It put them in position, right, to take Jericho. The walls fell, but they still had to fight for it. So let's work in sequence one more time. We're heavy. It's a symptom. Heaviness is a symptom most of the time. Praise begins to push off that heaviness, lifts our eyes. Just as it says, God is the lifter of our head. As we begin to lift our eyes to the hills from where our help comes from, that heaviness begins to fall off, and we're replaced with a garment of praise. Praise also picks the locks on prison doors. See, we might be lighter feeling, but we're still stuck in a prison cell. We're still chained up and bound by things of this world. We begin to praise him still and begin to remind ourselves of who he is, and reminder that even the smallest of things, even the most enormous of things, are subject to his power. It begins to free us and those around us. It's infectious. I watched as you guys begin to talk to each other this morning when we first started. And as you begin to tell somebody something good about them, smiles just erupted. It was infectious. When we praise God in difficult times, it makes people want to do it. And then we become not just a solo person, but then an army of people trying to do God's work. And that gets dangerous. Things start happening. Can you imagine what God could do if we put our faith all in one basket and said, God, do it? It's incredible. Can you imagine what he could do? It picks the locks on prison doors. It puts us in our place. It reminds us that we are not good enough. We never will be. We never will be good enough. But he made a way for us. You see, he fixed that rift that was caused by sin through Adam with his son Jesus, who bled and died for us on a cross as a sacrifice to restore that. And when Jesus took his last breath, it said the veil of the temple was torn in two at that moment. The earth shook and the veil was torn. What does that mean? That means we have access to the fullness of who God is. It was set aside for just priests before that, but we have access to the fullness of God because of his son Jesus. I'm not good enough. Neither are you. But he is. And through his son Jesus, in that relationship with him, we can know what that looks like. And then that puts us in position for possession. Where you at? Where you at today? I've been in all four of these. Most of the time, the top three rather than the bottom one. I know what it's like to feel heavy. I do. I can empathize with you better than most. I feel like life gets heavy sometimes. I know what midnight looks like and feels like. It's tough. It's scary. It's really scary when you lose hope in your life, right? Just like the song we sang today said, sorrow might last for the night, but joy comes with the morning, right? It does. And even in the darkest of nights, when we begin to focus on who God is rather than what's wrong with us, rather than how bleak the outlook around us is, it begins to free us from what's holding us in that midnight. I've been there. I know what it's like to want to take my own life. I know what it's like to be seconds from trying it. And then I open the Word of God and I say, you got one more shot. Fix it or I'm going. And I begin to read the very first scripture I ever read. It might have been one of the first times I ever read it. Right to Jeremiah 29:11. And it said, I know the plans I have for you. Plans to prosper you, not to harm you. To give you a future and a hope. God doesn't want us to be in those two spots. He He doesn't want us to be heavy because it's hard to minister to people when all we're doing is weighed down. And he doesn't want you to be bound and stuck in a prison cell. He wants you to be free and ministering to those around you. He wants to put you in your place. And that sounds kind of negative, right? But that place is also a place that's a seat at his table. That place is also somewhere where he feeds me and he gives me bread on the daily through his word. He gives me sustenance through remembering the times that he's helped me in my life. It's not just a place of him looking down on me. It's him a place of being fatherly to me and pulling my head up and saying, hey, look at me. Look at me. That place is at his table. That place is in his lap. That place is with him. That place is with him. And then that puts us in position for possession. Miss Roxanne's going to play with us. I'm going to step down here. Think about where you are today. Do you believe that he's big enough to pull you out of that spot? Or are you going to say, he can help Logan. He can help Pastor Seth and do a work in his body. I don't think he wants to help me. You're wrong. Dead wrong. He wants to help you today to be in position for possession, to be ready to fight and take hold of that promise for him, to see your loved ones saved, to see your marriage restored, to see your mind just shored up by the presence of who he is. He's ready for you to take possession of that today. Are you? Are you ready? Why not? Why not? Your excuse is invalid. You can come to me with them, but your excuse is invalid. Today, maybe you don't know him. That hurts to not know him. Paul said, if I had hope only in this life, I would be of all men most miserable, but I don't. I have hope in a life that's after this. I do. I know the joy that brings. You see, when we don't know Jesus, we have hope in this life that just says, we're going to live, we're going to die, and that's going to be it. But there's a promise in him that says we can know him eternally. Do you know him today? Do you know him? Do you know him like I know him? As a father, as a friend, as a lover, healer, deliverer, chain breaker. You better quit. Do you know him like I know him? Today this altar's open. I'd be happy to pray with you. I'd be happy to pray with your family. I'd be happy to talk to you about what it means to know Jesus, and so would Pastor Seth as well. Or maybe you just want to come pray that God opens those prison doors for you. God shucks off those heavy coveralls for you. God puts you in your place so that you can know who he is, but know whose you are. It's cliche in the church now, but it's so true. Maybe you're ready to quit walking around your promise and start watching those walls fall so that you can take hold of it and be in position to possess that promise. I'm here. I'd be happy to pray with you. Stand with me as Miss Roxanne plays and sings for us.